And so that's why you see men bond with their children when you're born too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like it makes you love them, and it's like a natural feeling. I know every woman here has felt it when they held their baby for the first time, and you just love them. You can't do anything but love the baby, and it's really cool. And your brain produces that.
Yeah.
And I'm also going through microbiology right now and studying the chemical bonds.
Uh-huh.
And how some of them, or most of them, are called a lock and key because they're the perfect fit for the specific enzyme that carries them.
It's amazing.
In your body. It flows through your body, but there's no other way that it could get into this enzyme unless it's the perfect fit, and that's why they call it the lock and key.
Yeah.
Lock and
key. Wow.
This is so, and God... Understand this now. God designed this before he made the heavens and the earth. This was all, when we say the word concept simply means that everything is taken into consideration before it even starts. Before you even start, you have to consider everything, every element of everything. And God considered everything. There's absolutely nothing that he didn't think through to perfection. And when you look in Proverbs chapter 8, that's what it's all about. Wisdom said, I was with God when we designed all of this. And he designed it all through Jesus Christ. Okay, so the whole thing of bonding starts with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They are one. Now, God, looking into creation, he wants everything to bond. And so he's set this up, and everything is interconnected so that everything is interdependent. Even the universe. If you took a star that's several billion light years away, if you moved it out of its place, everything would start to go crazy.
Yeah.
That's how accurate everything that God has made is. All of it is in that perfect timing. Okay, so then we come down to us, and of course sin separated us from God. So the bond was broken. And Jesus came to rebond us. And the whole prayer that he prays in John 17, and I encourage you to read it over and over and over and pray your way through that. But Jesus is constantly saying, Father, make them to be one, like you and I are one. Make them to be one with us. Father, I want you to love them exactly the way you love me. I mean, that when you think of something like that, how does your mind? You can't even think of God loving us like he loves his own son. See? So the whole thing of this bonding, and we touch on pieces of it. In other words, we may study covenant. Where nations are in covenant with one another, or God in the Old Testament made many covenants with different people and nation. And then through Jesus Christ, we come into that covenant relationship, that oneness. When we take communion, that is the whole purpose of that. And without understanding this concept, you can't understand, you know, what's going on. In other words, there's crazy things in the Bible. Jesus making statements like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part with me. Say, I'm drinking the wine and eating the bread, but eating his flesh, drinking his blood, he's talking about this. And all of you, Sunday school and sermons and all of that, remember when Peter was after the resurrection, Peter and his different ones were with him, and they were out fishing. And then they see Jesus on the shore. They go ashore, and of course, the whole story. And then it comes down to Peter. And Jesus is talking to Peter, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Of course, in college, what we did was study out all of the different words, the Greek words for love, and all of that. That's not what he was doing, and that's in there. And it's a good Bible study, but that's not what it's about. This was Jesus bonding. Jesus was bonding with Peter. And just like the baby, see, and now you're going to be feeding your baby, you're going to be nursing your baby. And he said, "Now, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And Jesus actually bonded in love with Peter. And from that moment on, Peter acted in Jesus' behalf on the earth. Even Jesus is, you know, went to be with the Father at the right hand of the Father. But there was that bonding. Now, the opposite of bonding is bondage. Okay? So, a lot of the acts of people saying they love you, but they're not, it's not true love, because they're trying to bring you into bondage. Mm-hmm. Now, and you'll also learn this in your studies, that when you are rejected, for instance, there is a chemical released in your body. You can physically feel when you are being rejected. It's almost like a poison that goes through your body. Most of you have experienced that. And it's very tangible. It's very physical. And it just shoots through your body. Okay, so Satan's job is to break all bonding and bring you into bondage. Okay. That's his job. Okay. And, of course, society is also doing everything they can to break up marriages, break up churches, break up, you know, any place where there is bonding. Now, we also know that this is very important for health. And this is what I'm getting into studying right now, is that your health is very dependent upon bonding. For instance, we're seeing people miraculously healed by the power of Jesus Christ just by simply hugging people. Don't have to say anything, don't have to do anything, just hug them. And next thing we know, they're healed. There's a people in Washington State that many, many people have tried to deal with, people with eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, all these different things. No success of any kind. These people are successful. And even though they're dealing with adults, and these are, of course, women with women, but all they do is hold them. They may sit there and hold them for hours. And all of a sudden, the anorexia is gone. Mm-hmm. And they're perfectly healthy. There was a factory where this stray dog made it into the factory, and of course everybody loved the little puppy, and so they started petting it and loving on it, feeding it. And but this one guy, he said, "I want to do a test. I'm going to test the red blood cells in this puppy, and then for 2 weeks we're going to leave it here, and we're going to feed it. We're going to do everything we would normally do, except you're not allowed to touch it, and you're not allowed to speak to it for 2 weeks." And at the end of the 2 weeks, he retested the blood. It was anemic, It was diseased. And he said, okay, now go back to petting it, touching it. And it came out of it completely. Retested the blood, perfect. See? With sheep, of course, Jesus understood sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I used to do the Bible study up in northern Missouri, up at Bethany. And another guy up there raised sheep. And he was saying, now, when the lamb is born, he said, you know, they're so cute, and you really would like to touch them. But he said, we don't dare touch them. If we touch them, they won't bond with the mother. It takes, they bond with the person that touches them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so he said we have to be very careful how we handle these things. So, and then of course in relationships, a lot of the new material that's coming out saying how important it is that we hug one another. And they said even 20 seconds. And so several times a day, I'll stop Jessie and I'll just hug her. You know, I'll just hold her and hug her. And sometimes, while I'm holding her, you can actually feel, they call this hormone, the good feeling hormone.
Right.
But it's all of a sudden, it's just like, the only thing I can compare it to is when I've been in the presence of God and the presence of the Word, and all of a sudden you feel something. And it's just like it just comes over you. Well, the same thing. When we are bonded together, when we love one another, then we're actually healing each other. We're bringing in the good feelings and relieving stress. I say one of the main things is that hugging relieves stress. So anyway, all of that, so let's look at scriptures then and see what all we're talking about here. Okay, bonding, right at the top of your page. Bonding was a part of God's original concept. In other words, this is very, very important. If you want to live full life, you need to be bonded with God, you need to be bonded with Jesus Christ, and you need to be bonded together. Okay? Because that's what life is all about. Yeah. And I was studying the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and it said this life essence came out of him. She came up behind him and touched him. And life essence came out of him, and she was totally healed. See how important all of this is. Yeah. Okay, Jesus in John 10:30 said, I and my Father are one. We are one. In other words, we're bonded together. Jesse and I are one. We got married and we are one. And this bond, you can tell, and I actually quit doing weddings. I got tired of doing weddings where people say I do, but they don't. There is no bonding. There may be, I don't know what their motives are. So often it's lust or whatever. It's something else other than love, because love is a bonding agent. Love is what bonds us together. And we shouldn't even have to say for richer or poorer or in sickness and in health. That should be all inclusive in I love you. I will care for you. You're me, I am you. We're one. John 17:20-23. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Now look what it says. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you. Wow. That's bonding. that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. They see the bonding, the oneness. In the Marine Corps, we call it esprit de corps. We live together, we die together, whatever it takes. We're going to get the job done. You know, if my brother's down, then I lay my life down to try to rescue and so forth. But Jesus said, now, my Father and I, we're one. I want you to know that you're one with us. We're one with you. That the world may believe that you sent me. Reverse that. How's the world going to know? If we don't love one another, how's the world going to know? See how important it is. And I can't stress it enough that this is very, very important. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Glory is the recognizable reality of God's presence. So when we show this unity, then the glory of God is made manifest. People then, they have to make a decision. They can make whatever decision they want, but they have to make a decision. Once they've experienced the love that we have for one another that bonds us together. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect. The word perfect here comes from a Greek word that means complete. That they may be complete. So without this bonding, we're not complete. Without Jesse, I would be incomplete. Without Jesus, I would be incomplete. Without you, I would be incomplete. And for me, traveling across the country, I mean, I remember one time I was clear over in Oklahoma, just following the map, so I don't even know where I am, other than I followed this map and I get there, and they've invited me to come and preach in their church. I walk in this church, and I look around, and I know everyone there. This is the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life. And so I asked the Lord, I said, what's that about? He said, well, they're all your brothers and sisters.
That's neat.
You're already bonded with them, you know. But it was so, I mean, they were all total strangers. And yet I knew. I loved them. I cared about them. Instantly. See? And no matter where we go in the world, it should be that way. We just instantly, we're one. Okay. That they may be perfect in one. In other words, they're bonded. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, here it is, as you have loved me. How much does the Father love Jesus?
What word describes that?
Yeah.
And he loves you exactly the same way. He doesn't love you with a lesser love than what he loves his son with. And he said, how will he not with his son freely give us all things? Amen? Okay. Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus. Now here again, your Sunday school class, you learned about bondservants, that there were slaves in Israel that when they were released, they decided they still wanted to serve their master, so they would take an awl and punch through their ears so everyone who would see them know that they were actually free, mm-hmm. but serving because they want to. Okay. Now, that's a good Sunday school lesson, but that's not what it's all about. Being a bondservant is being one with God. Being one in the Spirit with God Himself. Being one in the Spirit with each other. That's unity of the Spirit. And things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. I learned that in school. Now, if you are made equal with God, and I'm made equal with God, and Jesus is equal with God, and we then choose to be bonded together with God, how much can we get done? Nothing impossible. Absolutely nothing impossible. Okay, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, I mean the wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You mean breaking bondage, being upset with each other, can hinder our prayers? Absolutely. Can it enhance our prayers? This one I might have shared with you, but we were invited to, this when I was brand new in the baptism in the Holy Spirit in 1966, we were invited to a house. And there again, we were just following a map. We get there, and there's all these people show up. It's a vacant house. And we all go in the upper room, upstairs, no furniture. They say, now the reason why we've come is there's a minister over in Illinois. His wife has terminal cancer. They cannot operate on her because it will kill her. And if they don't operate, she's going to die. So there's no way out. And we need to pray. Because I'm brand new. I'm just a Baptist, Southern Baptist preacher speaking in tongues. I have no idea what this is all about. I don't even know how to conduct a meeting like this. But no one else was doing anything. So I said, Lord, what do we do? And he said, have them start reading scriptures. And I said, okay, everybody just sit down, lean against the wall, and everybody will just go one to the other, and if you have a healing scripture, read that scripture or quote that scripture, and we'll just go around the room. And if we need to go around two or three times, we will. We'll just keep going until you're done. And so we did that, and the presence of God, you could just feel the presence of God. Faith was just coming in. I said, okay, now we're done with that. Let's start to pray. And because we're individuals and we all have our own way of doing things, people started to pray. And in fact, there's some of them with great pride. I know how to pray for the sick. It's kind of the arrogance that I was sensing. And so they prayed their special prayer, and the next one prayed their special prayer. Gets a little ways around the room, and it all stops. And this one starts to pray. This one finishes the sentence. And it just goes around the room, just keeps going. It's all one prayer with different mouths speaking it. And then all of a sudden, it was just, and I just announced, it's over, it's done. She's healed. Let's all go home. Got a call the next day from the pastor. And he said, at 10 o'clock at night, my wife felt an intense pain at the top of her head. And a circle of fire came down over her head, started down over her chest, a circle of fire on each arm going down, and they went all at the same time, her arms and her chest, down over her hips, two rings of fire down her legs and out her toes. They checked her, and she totally and completely healed. No cancer found anywhere. The unity of the Spirit, the bond of love, healed her hundreds of miles away. God had all this planned out, by the way, before he ever made people. It's a part of his original concept. So, going back to the scripture, yes, your prayers can be hindered. You don't know when you become selfish that you're actually shortcutting your prayers. You're not going to be as effective as you will be to be in the Spirit. If two of you agree as touching anything, it'll be done. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about bonding. See, he's not talking about two or three people getting together. He's talking about being that oneness, that unit where the love of God is just so present. And of course, we've been experiencing that with our church services, hundreds of people there, and the Spirit of God just coming in. And nothing impossible. No. And this is a Southern Baptist church, by the way. Now, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. That's what bonding does. See, back in covenant, and covenant wasn't just like a God covenant. Covenant was actually something where even nations, one nation could make a covenant with another nation. And of course, the benefit was for the weaker nation. See, they make covenant with the stronger nation. And if anyone who wants to attack the smaller, weaker nation, they have to deal with the big army of the big nation. See? And so we come across such statements, and we just shake our head. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. What's it talking about? Angels fighting demons. Right? See, we don't even have the slightest idea how powerful that is. Not my business. It's his business. Mm-hmm. And you get Jesus involved. He's the bigger country. See, yeah, I might be able to speak words and be able to, you know, Satan in the name of Jesus and so forth. And we do all of that. Let's not downplay any of that. Keep doing that. But when the battle rages, just back off and say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And watch what happens. 100% of the time, he backs off. He cannot handle Jesus. There isn't a demon on earth that can handle Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. That's bonding. That's bonding at its best. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We have been sealed. We have been bonded Oh, that Christians could be bonded, to be one. Hey, if they attack you, they have to deal with me. If they attack me, they have to deal with you. Amen? We don't run away from anything. We run to it. I do. I run to the battle. I don't run away from battles. I run to the battles. I love to get in them. Like I said, I've never lost. In 60-some years of being a believer, I've never lost yet, and I'm not about to. Hallelujah. Because I'm in covenant relationship with the overcomer. Amen. Lord of lords and King of kings. John 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. He's talking here about this bonding. My sheep, they know my voice. They follow me. Hallelujah. Now, verse 13. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jump and run. See, we don't need people like that. We need to be one in the Spirit. And everybody running to the battle. When there's trouble, we all need to run to it. With all the power, with all the authority, with all the Word of God. And stay. I love reading of the Chinese church, especially the house churches, that if someone is sick, and of course they don't have the access to the medicine because they're like outsiders of communism. And so they treat them like outsiders. And so you can't just say, well, now I'm a believer, but I really need your medicine, because they just won't let you run back and forth like that. And so they, if someone gets sick, then believers from all over will go to their house, and they will stay there until the person is healed or dies. They won't leave. It don't matter if it's a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And of course, years ago, even before I knew about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I remember reading about Peter Marshall. Some of you have read Peter Marshall stuff. But he would do that. And he would just go, and if he had to pray all night, he just prayed all night. It didn't matter. John G. Lake, a lot of these, it's like, it didn't matter. If it takes weeks, if it takes years, whatever it takes, they just, like, we're in it with you, and we're going to stay. People nowadays, they just want to run in, be healed in the name of Jesus, and run away. But we need to stay. I don't say prayers. I just don't do that. I pray. In other words, I listen to God, and I speak into existence what God is saying to speak into existence. I find no value in saying prayers. But I do find great value in speaking the word of the Lord, praying. Now we say in Jesus' name, but what do we mean by that? In His behalf. Whatever we're doing in His name, we're doing in His behalf. So it's as though Jesus is there doing it. We're doing the speaking, but we're speaking in His behalf. Oh, I've got things to do. I've got places to go. No, we don't. There's nothing as important as being bonded together with Jesus Christ in His activity and finishing His work on the earth. Nothing is that important that we have to leave. Okay, so the hireling, you can tell the hireling because they just, they'll take care of the sheep as long as everything's okay. The very moment there's a problem, I'm out of here. Jesus is trying to teach us something about bonding. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He passed that on to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Colossians 3:14. But above all these things, put on love. Above? What can you get above? You can't get anything above, because above is as high as you can go, right? So above all these things, put on love. This isn't gushy love. This is really caring. Just like Jesus left heaven, became a servant, bondservant, here on the earth. Whatever it takes, this is what I'm going to do. Titus 1:1. And what I did here, you'll notice it, not a lot. I just put several scriptures together. I want you to see, if you can go back 2,000 years and experience these people. Okay? Titus 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness or godlikeness. Okay? James 1:1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Do you get it? Do you get it? See, they were so one with Jesus Christ, so one with the Father. So it wasn't just like a title, right? Nice, you're bondservants. You decided to follow Jesus. No. It's talking about this concept of God from before creation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being one. And what He wants to do in us, to make us to be one in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Are you catching it? Are you getting the spirit of it? Okay. Like I said, this is probably the most important thing. We're moving more and more into very, very hard times. Okay. And I'll tell you till the day I die, things are going to get worse and worse. And they're going to get better and better all at the same time. But as things get worse and worse, then we are going to have to come together more and more in this unity of the Spirit, in this bond of love. We're going to have to be there for one another, live or die. And I don't care. I don't care if they cut my head off, shoot me, or whatever they want to do. If you're in trouble, I'm with you. I want you to know that. And I tell people, you can call me anytime, day or night. I'm with you. I don't just travel around and talk. I bond with people. I'm in it. Okay. And that's the way they were. They were bond servants. They were bonded. They were sealed by the Holy Spirit in this bond of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2:2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining... Here's another one. How do you even get this in your mind? How can you come to understand something like this? That they, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. That'll preach. If you have 4 hours to listen to my sermon.
Praise God.
How can you get your mind around something like that? That's too big for me. I love living in it. John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Mm-hmm. Why the repeat? We repeat things when it's important. Mm-hmm. Come on, people, get it, Jesus is saying. And they're standing there and saying, you said what? I think you just repeated yourself. If you want to read repeats, try reading John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And see how many times he repeats himself in 4 chapters. Okay, John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now look at this. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Is that bonding or is that bonding? I'm glad after Jesse and I got married, she came to live at my house. I just thought that was real neat. And I'm glad that Jesus wants to come to my house. Yes. And I'm glad the Father wants to come to my house. And I'm looking forward to going to his house.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Won't be long, folks. And we get to go home to his house. In the meantime, let's be sure that he's welcome in our house. He said, this will only happen if you love one another. Ephesians 4, 3 and 4. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace has that ability to draw together. See? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. We get pretty excited when God shows up from time to time. What if he lived with us all the time? I'm glad Jesse don't just come to visit me every once in a while. Once a month. That'd be nice. But when you can live together and be one. And be one. And I love it. For me, it was progressive. I think for everyone, it's probably progressive. But I would look forward, for instance, to every morning that I would get up and go into my office and the Lord would be waiting there for me. And that's exciting. I love that. You know, and he's still there every morning. But he also now doesn't leave me. He's like with me all day, all night. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Now, I do have to be disciplined in that I don't do things that would displease him. You know, like hating my brother or being mean to someone or, you know, whatever. Sinning or... God's calling us to holiness. I think all of you will probably, if you're not already sensing that, you will really be sensing it in the days to come. God is calling us to holiness. Not the old holiness movement, Okay? This is out of love and devotion to God, because we want His presence. You never know. You're walking through Walmart and all of a sudden here's this opportunity. And it's just so wonderful just to open my mouth, reach out my hand. I was in at Walmart the other day. I saw this lady, and she has quite a few disabilities. And she was in the ladies' clothing. She had a friend that helps her. Anyway, I went over. As I was walking by her, she just grabbed me with the biggest old hug all the way around. And, I mean, she just held on. And this other lady was looking like, you know this guy? You know, it's this love, this bond of love. See? And what was she doing? She was drawing Jesus out. She was drawing the love of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, actually benefiting from it, healing for her body. She can actually physically feel, when she's hugging me, she can physically feel the presence and the power of God working in her. Of course, I'm sure all the people in Walmart are like, what's going on around here? But I don't care. I love people. And Jesus loves people. And we are His transportation.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have a nice car for transportation. But Jesus needs transportation too. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives inside of you. His Spirit is in you. His giftings are in you. His power is in you. And people need it. People need it. And as things get worse and worse, what I'm finding, it's easier to tell them about Jesus, that they need to be born again, and for the believers that they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. It's just getting really easy now. No matter which church I'm in, it's just getting easier and easier. Because people are hungry, because people are thirsty, because people have been abused, hurt. Churches have hurt people. Christians have hurt people. It's tragic. And my conclusion is there's no one out there can be as mean as a Christian.
That's true.
My conclusion. I mean, you know, we think ISIS is terrible, but you've never seen Christians when they get on the wrong side of God and go after their own selfish ways. They can be very cruel. And yet, most of you have experienced that cruelty. Okay, so God is calling us for healing of these people that have been hurt like this. I spent a good part of my life going after people that won't even go to church anymore. And just going and loving on them. And getting their confidence back in the Lord. And that there is someone who really cares. And is just not out for their own self. Yeah. And Paul ran into the same thing. Uh-huh. And he said, I only have one. Everybody else has gone their own way after their own things. I only have one left. That, you know, that really cares. That really loves. Okay. Colossians 1:17. I put in the word connectivity. This is a wonderful word. It's an English word, but God spent a long time trying to explain connectivity to me. How everything is interdependent on the other. If we'll understand this. And I can't even hardly talk about it because I don't know what to say. Even though he explained it all to me, I know I experienced it. But there's this connectivity. We're all connected with one another. Mm-hmm. We're connected with God. Mm-hmm. And we're also connected with the one who is seeking to save that which is lost. In other words, there's not a us and them. we are actually connected to all the lost people, not to their sin.
No.
We're not connected to their sin. We're holy people. But we are connected in that God loves them and wants them to be born again and be filled with His Spirit and caught up in the bond of love and experience the peace, the oneness, this unity of the Spirit. So there's this connectivity. Okay? James 3:18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And now next month I'm going to be talking to you about fruitfulness. How to come into fruitfulness. It doesn't matter how much you do for God. What matters is how fruitful are you.
Yes.
And we'll study that. And really, because that's where we are right now. Mm-hmm. But you have to have this before you can be
that's
fruitful.
Right.
See, if I teach fruitfulness first, you just shake your head and walk out. But if I teach you this first and then I teach you fruitfulness, you'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1 John 4:12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected or made complete in us. First John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Now those of you that were in my teaching on the creation, how God created the universe, three things involved. Wisdom was the architect. Knowledge was seeing how everything fit. The word understanding in the Bible now. We're talking about in the Bible. The word understanding always has to do with putting together. It's how God, He said, I created the universe by understanding. See? Now, as scientists or whoever, they're studying and they finally discover how He put it together. Oh, that's how that works with that, that works with that, that works with that. And as they say, now we understand. But you see, God created it by understanding so that eventually they could understand. But they're going at it backward. See, they're looking into it where God created it.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything He created by understanding. In fact, it's even with building the ark, building the tabernacle, all of these things, it said, God gave them understanding to know how to work with wood or how to work with gold or whatever. So they knew how to do. See, they have a design, but understanding is the putting of it together. Okay. So everything is by understanding. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, we see things as God sees them. That's what that judgment's about.
Mm-hmm.
Not about judging, it's about seeing everything as it really is. Okay, I remember when I had the Truth for Youth House, people would marvel because the people, and these were just hippies, drug addicts, gangs, gang kids that we brought them into Christ, got them filled with the Holy Spirit and bringing them into pure living in Christ. And then they would go out and they would witness. And one of the most fun things that they'd enjoy doing was hitchhiking. And so they would go out, stick out their thumb, and someone would pick them up. And while they were in the car, they would begin to love on the person driving and tell them about Jesus. Now, what was so fun was that they would witness, and at a certain point, God would say, now you tell them you went out here. And so they would say, oh, would you let me out here at the corner? So they'd let them out. And they'd drive on that. They'd drive on down a ways. Here's another hitchhiker out there, and they'd pick him up. And that person, even though these haven't even talked together, would start right where the last one left off.
Oh, my goodness.
And began to witness. And then that one would say, would you let me out here at the corner? And so they would get out. He'd pick up the third one. And the third one would say, are you ready to accept Jesus? And yes, 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 I'm ready. You know, nobody could put three together like that, or four or five. You know. But now if it was like some churches that I've been in, who were, well, I know more, I mean, you know, my doctrine's better than your doctrine. And they told you what? No, the Bible says, and just ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just ruin the whole thing. Because they want to make their point and prove their doctrine. You know, no. What's important is we love one another and we say the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a test, but I don't know, because it's been quite a while since I taught you. When we use the definition, this is the definition, to say the same thing, what word are we talking about?
Judgment.
Huh?
Gospel.
Gospel. It's actually the definition of the word. It's the word confess.
Okay.
Okay, so if God says that you have lied, for instance, and you're going to try to get favor, and you say, I'm really sorry about that, I really fibbed. That's not confession. Say, yeah, I really stretched the truth that time. I believe I exaggerated. No, not until you say, God, I lied. And I know I've shared this with you, but in my travels, I run across many women who have had abortions. They really want all that God has, but they can't get there. No matter what they do, they can't get there. And finally, they end up at one of my meetings, and then they usually takes them a little while before they talk about it, but then they begin to talk about it. And I said, now, have you talked to God? Have you confessed your sin? Oh, yeah. I told him I was, repented of having an abortion. I said, no, I won't get it. I said, try this. God, I killed my baby. Mm-hmm. Say that. God, I killed my baby. And just immediately, your sin is gone. See? Because they say the same thing that God said, let's confess. Okay. Now, the positive side of that, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Why do we do that? Because the Father said He's Lord, I say He's Lord, so I'm saying the same thing the Father is saying. Mm-hmm. That's confession. Mm-hmm. You have to call it what God calls it. Okay? Otherwise, it's not confession. Mm-hmm. Say the same thing. So in our witness, wouldn't it be neat if we could be out on the street and every one of us that they talked to would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. With the same love, with the same care. Well, that's where we're headed. And the world will not be able to escape. And more now, the church is heading to the street to go out to seek and to save that which is lost. It's not come to my church and get saved. It's let's go out and love people. go out and love people. And don't be afraid to minister to them first. Find out what their need is. Ask them about their life. Ask them to tell their story. See? Draw them out of themselves. And if they need healing, because I've heard preachers say, well, God won't heal you unless you're born again. I don't know where they got that. I mean, Paul was shipwrecked on an island. A whole bunch of heathen, and he went around the whole island and healed them. They were Christians. I have no scruples about praying for people to be healed and later lead them to Christ. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. You mean he's pleased if I'm just me? And you're just you? Uh-huh. Yeah. Be who God made you to be. Don't try to be somebody else. And love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Love people. At 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. 2 Corinthians 8:16, but thanks be to God who put the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. How do we get it? God puts it there. God puts it there. You can't intuit it. You can't bring it up. God puts it there. By whom all things consist. That means all things hold together. By whom all things hold together. That's what the word consist means. And it gives consistency. Jesus is putting his body together. What we're going to do is we're going to love no matter what. And we're bonded together. We're one in the bond of love.